Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Midland Reporter Telegram published Friday, August 27th, 2021. Front page. The show will go on. County says leaders will not halt horseshoe events, by Stuart Doreen. The show will go on. Midland County again said this week that it is not budging from shutting down its convention facilities, like the horseshoe complex. On the same week that the number of COVID inpatients at Midland Memorial Hospital reached record numbers, hitting 124 on Thursday morning, County Emergency Management Coordinator Justin Bunch stated during the Unified Command Team press conference that County Judge Terry Johnson said he has no intention of shutting down any events at the Horseshoe. Bunch said that most of the events are held outdoors and that there is sanitation and personal protection equipment on the property. We do have systems in the air ducts to ionize any air that comes in and kills any type of virus. That would be COVID or the flu or whatever, said Bunch, who made it a point to say that the county doesn't run the Midland County Fair. But at this time, the commissioner's court and county judge have no intention of shutting down the horseshoe. Preliminary numbers from the Midland Health Department's website on Thursday showed more than 1,800 new COVID-19 cases inside Midland County from August 8th to the 18th, the most recent numbers available. Midland Health's website showed the positivity rate at Midland Health testing centers was 30.4% this week. It is the third straight week with the positive rate above 30%. Midland Health Chief Medical Officer Dr. Larry Wilson stated at the same press conference that he is concerned by the lack of recognition by the general population that the latest spike is taking place. Also started this week is high school football's regular season. The Museum of the Southwest, on its website, shows that Septemberfest and the preview party are still taking place September 9th and 10th. The same can be said for the St. Anne's Fair on September 23rd through the 26th. We're feeling it very intensely here at the hospital, Wilson said. We've repeatedly said, we are beyond full, and that reflects in our ability to manage all the patients that we're seeing currently. Wilson added the transmission of COVID is likely to increase because of any large congregations where people aren't masking or social distancing. So we've had this kind of a perfect storm where we are surging into this, and then we went back to school. At the same time, we started having events going on outdoors because people were feeling like things were getting better, outdoors or indoors, where they're congregating together. So all those factors, I think, do increase the transmission, increase the positivity rates that we talked about, and then 7 to 10 days later, they're going to reflect in the patients that are sick enough that they're going to end up in the hospital. So certainly that creates some angst and concern, and I think a level of dismay is what I hear from a lot of my colleagues in the hospital about how can people just think this is business as usual. Midland Mayor Patrick Payton later complimented the Midland Chamber of Commerce for canceling some of its in-person events and making them virtual, like the upcoming 2021 annual meeting with keynote speaker Don Evans. He also has said that the city has canceled bringing some potential economic development clients to Midland. So this is just another call for us to get disciplined, get responsive, whatever the right word is for you to say. Look, let's just be very vigilant for the next 2 weeks, Payton said. You need to make that decision as a personal business owner, as a personal company, as a family. Our school districts are wrestling with that. Whether that's public or private schools, we're all dealing with it. Whether you can use the term of emptying the hospital, I don't like the term flattening the curve. But the reality is, we're going to have to deal with this one. And the other reality is we get through this one. Not to be the pessimist, but we'll probably deal with another one. Because COVID and COVID variants are not going away any more than the flu and flu variants have ever gone away. So we're going to have to learn to live with it and deal with it. Midland Health Requests ER Tent, by J.C. Lewis. Midland Memorial Hospital has requested a tent from the state to divert emergency department patients that aren't seriously injured or ill, said Chief Nursing Officer Kit Bredemus. The tent would help with overflow, since the emergency department is now taking over two other departments in the hospital. Once we have put in a request for a tent and receive a tent, we will continue to operate our emergency room operations from the tent, Bredemus said, along with potentially holding patients in that space. During previous waves, the emergency department did not have a lot of volume coming through, so the department was able to expand and hold those admissions as staff found ways to get them upstairs, he added. However, this time is different because on Wednesday, the emergency department saw 216 people. He said the department continues to see record high volumes. The emergency department has been seeing a lot of patients who come in for minor testings, sore throat, cough, or cold, which could be seen by their primary physician or urgent care, he said. Those are the patients that would be seen in the tent. The tent has a limited capacity of about 14 stalls in the tent with a platform bed in each stall. Patients in the tent would need to be able to walk in and out, plus don't have a high potential to catch an infectious disease. Right now we are seeing so many folks in the lobby and discharging them from the lobby without them needing to go back, he said. As we look at the tent and the utilization, it will be for people who are able to walk, talk, and breathe on their own that don't have a medical emergency that will need immediate intervention. Bredemus said the hospital is operating 36 beds that aren't fully staffed. The hospital has also requested 115 nurses and 20 respiratory therapists from the state. Other items from Thursday's press conference. Two-thirds of the 123 COVID patients at Midland Memorial Hospital are under 60 years old. Midland Health CEO Russell Myers said the hospital did admit about a couple of 80-year-old patients recently, but the majority of inpatients are younger than was previously seen at the hospital. The age range is 19 to 89 years old. Unvaccinated patients make up 87% of the COVID population. 40.5% of Midland's eligible population are vaccinated. The hospital is treating 16 patients with breakthrough infections who were vaccinated. The vast majority of patients from Midland County, with only 13% being from other Texas locations, mostly around Midland. Pioneer gives back more than $5.8 million from staff reports. Pioneer Natural Resources and its employees provided more than $5.8 million in donations, grants, and sponsorships to hundreds of area charities so far this year, part of the company's larger plan to transform the way nonprofits serve their communities, according to a press release. Donations from Pioneer, the largest oil and natural gas producer in the Permian Basin, have provided a desperately needed lifeline for dozens of charities struggling to stay afloat during a once-in-a-generation pandemic, which has seen a steep drop-off in financial support from usual donors, the press release stated. Through mid-August, nearly 230 Pioneer employees made more than 500 donations, topping $300,000 to 241 charities, thanks to the company's Well Spent program, which matches employee donations to nonprofits of at least $50, up to $5,000 annually, Pioneer reported. Pioneer, the largest oil producer in Texas, has awarded nearly $5.2 million in cash donations to food banks, universities, and environmental groups, from Irving to Midland. Pioneer also reported donations of more than $360,000 in everything from trucks, laptops, and gym equipment to money supporting volunteer fire departments, veterans groups, storm relief organizations, and housing for the needy. Pioneer also stated that the company this year selected agencies whose services have a tangible, direct impact on the communities where its employees work and live. Pioneer reported that large cash donations included $250,000 to the Midland Education Foundation and $104,000 to the West Texas Food Bank. The following are recent donations that illustrate Pioneer's giving strategy. Pioneer's $15,000 donation to the Midland Rape Crisis and Children's Advocacy Center funded a part-time employee who will visit elementary schools to teach students what's appropriate and what's off-limits when adults interact with children. The Being Safe program also conducts awareness presentations in the community and professional training to spot child abuse and sexual assault incidents. A donation of $75,000 to the Natural Conservancy helps protect the Devil's River and the Sandia Springs, Diamond Y Spring, Dolan Falls, and Independence Creek preserves in West Texas. Pioneer's donation of $20,000 worth of playground equipment to Mark Midland ensured its treasured inclusive play park will continue to be accessible for all children, including those with disabilities. The company's $5,000 donation to Midland Teen Court Incorporated helped restore a college scholarship fund that had been reduced due to pandemic-related budget cuts. The program lets teen defendants work off traffic violations and other minor offenses through mock trials and community service. United Way Clay Shoot raises more than $170,000. From staff reports, the United Way of Midland raised $170,000 during its 2021 Bustin' Clay Clay Shoot presented by XTO Energy on August 20th. The United Way of Midland exceeded its goal of $150,000. The following is more information provided by the United Way of Midland. XTO's collaboration with United Way of Midland helps to support 48 programs through 24 local community partners, tackling health, education, and self-sufficiency issues to help build a better life for our community. This event is the single largest fundraising event for the United Way of Midland and kicks off the 2021 United Way of Midland annual campaign. More than 98% of all funds raised go directly to support this community. XTO Energy cares about the communities where it operates and its employees live. Meals on Wheels celebrates client's 105th birthday by J.C. Lewis. Meals on Wheels Odessa is partnering with the West Texas Food Bank to celebrate Dorothy Nelms' 105th birthday. This Saturday, celebrate with Nelms by decorating cars and joining the parade at Woodson Park in Odessa. The parade lineup starts at 5:30 p.m. and the parade will start at 6:30 p.m. The parade will end at King Solomon Baptist Church with refreshments located at 230 Bunch Avenue. Meals on Wheels Odessa is also looking for volunteers to help deliver meals to the seniors they serve. Volunteer shifts are available Monday through Friday. To volunteer with Meals on Wheels Odessa, call 432-333-6451. Obituaries from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Friday, August 27th. Bernard Barney Seidenberger, Jr. Bernard Barney Seidenberger, Jr., 77, of Midland, passed away Tuesday, August 24th. Rosary will be held Thursday, August 26th at 7 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass will be Friday, August 27th at 1 p.m. at St. Stephen's Catholic Church in Midland. Barney was born on June 4, 1944, to Ella and Bernard Robert Seidenberger in Greenville, Texas. Barney is survived by his wife, Dorothea Logan of Midland, son Robbie and fiancé, B. Ruth of Midland, son Mark and wife Tammy of Flower Mound, son Phil and wife Angie of Amarillo, stepchildren Lawrence Fink and wife Valerie of Indiana, Tanya Childs and husband Jason of Austin, and Stephen Finos and wife Ramona of Austin, seven grandchildren and seven step-grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his first wife, Carla Seidenberger, his parents, Bernard and Ella Seidenberger, sisters Dolores and Agnes Seidenberger. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation to Helping Hands of Midland, 1301 Brinson Lane, Midland, Texas, 79703. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Mamie L. Besped. Mamie L. Besped was born in Waco, Texas, to the late Alan Clark Sr. and Edna May Small. Mamie Besped was preceded in death by her parents, her brother Aubrey Dean Small, Brooker T. Clark, Alan Clark Jr., and a daughter, April B. Besped, also a grandson, Olene Royce Besped. To cherish her memories, she leaves two loving daughters, England Randolph LaSonia Besped, and one son, Olene Besped III, and 15 granddaughters and grandsons, and a legacy of great-grandkids and cousins and many, many relatives and friends. A wake service will be held Thursday, August 26th from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas, 79701. Funeral service will be Friday, August 27th at 1 p.m. at Alexander Temple Church of God in Christ, 200 North Tyler Street, Midland, Texas, 79701. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezfh.com. Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home is honored to serve the Besped family at this time. Teresa Yvette Hooper. Teresa Yvette Hooper passed away peacefully and surrounded by her family on August 24th in Sweetwater, Texas. Affectionately known to her family and friends as Vet, she was born December 19, 1951, in Hobbs, New Mexico, and was preceded in death by her mother, Betty Johnson, her father, John P. Johnson, her brother, Terry Don Johnson, and her sisters, Vita Johnson and Neela May Lombus. Left to cherish her memory is her loving husband of 25 years, Patrick Hooper of Roby, Texas, her sisters, Teresa Fields and husband Clarence of Odessa, Deborah Pride and husband Thomas of Midland, Dorothy King and husband Carlos of Arlington, Yolanda McMarion of Midland, and her brother Gerald Johnson and wife Laura of Midland. She's also survived by her children, Nicole McPherson and husband Malcolm Sr., deceased, of Denton, Terry Davis and wife Wendy of Gulfport, Mississippi, Thomas Davis and wife Jacqueline of Midland, and Wesley DeWitt Jr. and wife Carmen of Midland. Vet also leaves behind 18 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, and a host of other cousins, nieces, nephews, and loving friends. The family has scheduled a viewing ceremony on Friday, August 27th at Avalos Thomas Funeral Home, located at 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas. The viewing will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. A homecoming celebration will be held in Vet's honor at 1 p.m. on Saturday, August 28th at Mount Calvary Baptist Church, 303 East Chandon Avenue in Midland, with the burial service to follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. The family would like to thank Fisher Company Hospital and Rolling Plains in Sweetwater for how hard they tried to make the last days comfortable. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezfh.com. Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home is honored to serve the Hooper family at this time. William Riley Ward. William Riley Ward, 75, formerly of Midland, died Monday, August 9th at Cypress Creek Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center in Cypress, Texas. He was the son of Orcutt R. Ward Jr. and Mamie White Ward, born October 9, 1945, in Shreveport, Louisiana. He was preceded in death by his wife of 25 years, Sue Ann Ward. She is survived by her two children and their spouses, Jason and Ruth Gracie, and Natalie and Reed Cashdollar. He was previously married to Anna Sewell Ward with a daughter, Susan Ward Hansen, husband Nathan, and children Leanna, Loriano, and Marabella. Also previously married to Jean Ward with three children, Teresa Ward Cobb, and husband Dusty with two children. Deceased James Ward with two daughters and Willie Ward. He is also survived by sister Pat Ward Brown with two daughters and two sons and brothers Reed L. Ward and children and Orcutt Stanley Ward with two daughters. His sister Nancy Ward Foose passed in 2014 and was survived by two daughters and one son. Arrangements provided by Joseph J. Earthman Generations, 234 Westcott Street, Houston, Texas, 77007. Death Notices. Alvino Villa. Alvino Villa, 20, of Midland, passed away August 24th. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Monday, August 30th, at the branch at NPW. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, August 31st at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Arrangements under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Garland Dean Pierce. Garland Dean Pierce, Sr., 87, of Midland, passed away August 24th. Visitation with the family will be from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday, August 30th, at Wilshire Park Baptist Church. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m., Monday, August 30th, at Wilshire Park Baptist Church. Graveside service will be held at 4 p.m., Monday, August 30th, 2021, at Victor Cemetery in De Leon, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Maria Carrasco. Maria Carrasco, 62, of Midland, passed away August 24th. Viewing will be from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, August 28th, and from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., Sunday, August 29th, at the branch at NPW. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Sunday, August 29th, at the branch at NPW. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m., Monday, August 30th, at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Wright Cowden. Wright Cowden, 81, of Midland, passed away August 24th. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, August 30th at First Presbyterian Church in Midland. Survivors include wife Melanie. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, August 27th, 2021. Odessa cases up by more than 1,000 in a week. Odessa area physicians and health experts during a Thursday Zoom news conference hastily dismissed a claim by Mayor Javier Jovan that using mouthwash will help prevent COVID-19. Jovan made the claim while live streaming on Facebook following Tuesday evening city council meeting. Quote, no, unfortunately, mouthwash does not work on COVID, end quote, Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Rohith Saravanan said during the news conference, quote, it can help fight plaque and prevent gingivitis, but not COVID, end quote. City Council on Tuesday directed city administrators not to cancel any upcoming city-sponsored community events, despite concerns that COVID cases have skyrocketed to record levels during the past month. After Tuesday's city council meeting, Jovan took to the popular social media platform to announce the decision and offered suggestions on how residents can protect themselves from COVID. Quote, we're not going to force anyone to close or cancel events, and we need to support those and also do it cautiously and practice common sense. And whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, that is not the question, end quote, Jovan said during his nearly five-minute Facebook chat. Quote, if you feel the need to take precautions, continue to use mouthwash, wash your hands, and mask if you have to. Keep your distance and that nature to be able to keep our numbers and manage our numbers. Jovan also acknowledged that he has, quote, had COVID twice, end quote, and since been vaccinated. In the past 2 weeks, the total number of new COVID cases in Ector County has increased by more than 1,000, or, quote, about 150 to 160 new cases per day, end quote, Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin said. As of Thursday, there were an estimated 2,090 active cases in Ector County, the Texas Department of State Health Services website detailed. During Thursday's news conference, Saravanan and Tippin urged people to seek medical advice and treatment from, quote, trusted physicians, end quote, such as longtime family doctors. They discourage people from trying unproven home remedies to treat COVID. Some physicians are gambling with people's lives by claiming that steroids or antibiotic treatments will cure COVID, Saravanan said. Studies have shown that high doses of steroids can be effective in helping very sick patients, but not those with minor symptoms, Saravanan said. The problem is these experimental treatments have not been comprehensively studied yet and are more likely to cause long-term health problems. Quote, I understand that outpatient physicians are trying their best and want to try anything that might work, end quote, Saravanan said. Quote, this is an act of desperation to help patients in front of you, end quote. MCH reported a total of 94 COVID patients on Thursday, with 44 of those patients in critical care and 42 of those currently on ventilators. 38 of those people in critical care had not been vaccinated. Patients' ages ranged from 13 to 88. ORMC President Stacey Brown reported that ORMC had 26 COVID patients, with 21 of them in critical care as of Thursday afternoon. Nine of those patients were on ventilators. Scenic Mountain Medical Center listed a total of 9 COVID patients on Thursday, with 2 of those patients in critical care and on ventilators, Brown said. The number of COVID patients at MCH has remained in the 90s this week, after climbing into the low 100s over the weekend, Tippin said. He said those lower numbers are deceiving because COVID patients are dying from what is believed to be the more aggressive Delta variant, while others are going home and new patients taking their place at the hospital. Quote, we haven't seen over the peak yet, end quote, Tippin said. ORMC and MCH administrators said both hospitals continue to struggle with staff shortages. At MCH, 27 staff members are off work due to COVID and 17 are missing at ORMC. Tippin and Saravanan continue to encourage people to wear face coverings, use hand sanitizer frequently, and try to avoid large gatherings. They also urge people to get vaccinated. Getting vaccinated doesn't guarantee that a person won't get COVID, quote, but it does give you a better chance of surviving, end quote, said Tippin, who acknowledged a close relative had died of COVID on Thursday. Something to celebrate. Odessan honored on 105th birthday. She turns to stare out the window as a loud car zooms by, rattling her home and briefly interrupting a conversation. Like most things she's experienced in her long life, Odessa's Dorothy Nelms appears unfazed by the distraction. Quote, I ain't got time to be mad at nobody, end quote, Nelms says on the eve of her 105th birthday. It's a motto she's lived by most of her life. The Odessa community is invited to join the many friends and family of Dorothy Nelms for a birthday celebration that will kick off with a parade that will begin at 6 p.m. Saturday at Woodson Park, said Joanne Vasquez, office manager for Meals on Wheels of Odessa, Inc., which is organizing the birthday celebration. Parade participants will first make their way past Nelms' home at 219 Bunch Avenue before arriving at nearby King Solomon Church Baptist Church at 6:30 p.m., where food and refreshments will be served and a city proclamation read in honor of the birthday honoree. Quote, she's an amazing woman, end quote, Vasquez says of Nelms. Quote, she's always very kind and still very active in the community, end quote. Organizers are still looking for and inviting more people to participate in the parade, especially bikers, Vasquez said. For more information about the parade or how to volunteer for Meals on Wheels, contact Vasquez at 432-333-6451, extension 1. Quote, yes, my grandmother does like motorcycles, end quote, says Nelms' granddaughter, Janice Hodges, who is unable to suppress her laughter. Quote, she was 40 when she started riding motorcycles. She took her last ride 15 years ago, end quote. Hodges said her grandmother, who raised her, has always been very active. An avid gardener, Nelms spent more than half of her life working as a housekeeper for a local family. She's a longtime community volunteer who has always been willing to help out friends and neighbors. Quote, up until recently, she served as a deaconess at her church, Hodges said. Quote, and she still loves to fish, end quote. Nelms was born August 17, 1916, in Reagan, Texas, and graduated from Pilgrim Rest High School. She married Maurice Nelms on March 17, 1934, in Falls County, and they remained married 75 years until his death in 2009. The couple raised 4 children, and Nelms currently counts 8 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, and 10 great-great-grandchildren. Nelms has also long served in a motherly role for children in her neighborhood, said City Councilwoman Mary Willis. Quote, Mrs. Nelms was part of my village growing up and even still unto this day, end quote, said Willis, a childhood friend of Hodges. Quote, she is such a steady and calm example of how we should maneuver life. She has wisdom and laughter for everyone and is always, always kind. She is just an amazing woman and she has raised an amazing family, end quote. Willis added, quote, I am so thankful for the 105 years of Mrs. Nelms' life. She always gives God the glory, and I know her to be a mighty woman of prayer, end quote. Quote, our community is a better place because of the Nelms family and their presence and participation in the Odessa community, end quote. Asked to describe her grandmother, Hodges says, quote, she's soft-spoken, a fun, loving person who loves her family, and she's a God-loving Christian, end quote. After 105 years, her grandmother has lost none of her zest for life, Hodges said. On Wednesday, Hodges was preparing to take Nelms to get her hair done and try out a new outfit for her birthday. How does it feel to be turning 105? Nelms is asked. Quote, oh boy, end quote, Nelms responds, stretching the length of each word for added emphasis. Quote, it feels good, end quote. Jury trials reset for murder cases. Jury trials for 2 men in separate murder cases are being reset. Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan said a lack of jurors has caused the trials for Joel Luna and Fabian Chavez Palvan to be rescheduled. Both trials were originally scheduled to take place Monday. Joel Luna, 37, is charged with capital murder of an individual under 10, a capital felony, while Fabian Chavez Palvan, 37, is charged with 2 counts of murder, a first-degree felony. Quote, we have some jurors coming in that we salvaged from this week, but we don't have enough to have 2 capital murder trials, end quote, Gallivan said. Luna is also being charged with aggravated assault to date, family or household member causing serious bodily injury, a first-degree felony. Court records show that Luna is scheduled for jury trial at 9 a.m. November 15th in the 70th District Courtroom of Judge Den Whalen. Palvin's jury trial for capital murder of multiple persons, a capital felony, which is scheduled for jury trial at 9 a.m. October 4th in the 161st District Courtroom, court records detail. Court records show that Luna's court-appointed lawyers for the capital murder charge are Jason Leach and Chris Fostel. Leach is also reportedly serving as Luna's head counsel for the aggravated assault charged. Luna has 2 bonds totaling $1.1 million and was still in custody as of Thursday afternoon. Jail records detail. Luna was booked on 2 charges on June 19, 2018. Court records detail that Palvin's attorneys for the 2 murder charges and the capital murder charge are Joe Spencer Jr. and Felix Valenzuela. Palvan has 1 bond totaling $1 million and was still in custody as of Thursday afternoon, jail records show. He was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on November 29, 2019. According to a previous Odessa American article, police were first called to Medical Center Hospital on May 1, 2018, in reference to an assault victim, an Odessa Police Department news release stated. Investigation reportedly showed that Luna had gotten into an argument with his 33-year-old wife before he reportedly began choking her, causing her to lose consciousness. The OPD press release detailed that Luna then kneeled on her abdomen and repeatedly applied force while stating he wanted to kill her baby. Luna's wife reportedly sought medical treatment and was told by medical personnel that she was 5 weeks pregnant and had lost the child she was carrying, the release stated. Investigation showed she sustained a traumatic miscarriage due to the injuries inflicted by Luna. Paul Vaughn is accused of shooting 2 people to death, including his wife. The probable cause affidavit detailed a witness saw a white Ford F-350 pickup collide with a black Cadillac Escalade on November 26, 2019, that was parked on the north side of the Apex Car Wash parking lot located at 2357 East 8th Street. After the pickup collided with the Escalade, the witness said the suspect, later identified as Paul Vaughn, exited the pickup and walked to the Escalade and used a handgun to shoot 36-year-old Joseph Granado multiple times as he was exiting the passenger side of the Escalade. Video surveillance showed after Paul Vaughn shot Granado that he walked to the driver's side and shot his wife, 35-year-old Tiffany Nicole Paul Vaughn, through the door, which struck her several times. Fabian Paul Vaughn pulled his wife from the car and onto the ground and then left the scene, the affidavit stated. Officers reportedly contacted Tiffany Paulvon's cousin, identified as Linda Hinojos, and she stated that her cousin told her that she was going to go see Granado to give him a gift that she had made for him. Hinojos stated that Tiffany Paulvon had filed for divorce from her husband, and since then, Fabian Paulvon had been threatening to kill her if she was found talking with other men, the affidavit stated. Hinojos stated that Paulvon knew his wife was in a relationship with Granado and knew where he lived and worked. Hinojos reportedly told officers that Paul Vaughn knew where his wife was when he shouldn't have known and believed he was tracking her vehicle or phone. On November 27, 2019, Paul Vaughn's father, identified as Valente Paul Vaughn Rodriguez, contacted OPD and stated that his son had contacted him and wanted to turn himself in, the affidavit stated. Rodriguez also stated that he had confessed to him that he shot his wife and Granado. Quick hits. Midland County Fair. The Midland County Fair has been scheduled through Sunday at the Midland County Horseshoe Fairground, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. The fairgrounds feature a carnival, rodeo events, indoor exhibition space, and more. Fair hours are 5 p.m. to midnight today, 10 a.m. to midnight Saturday, and from noon to 8 p.m. Sunday. For tickets or more information, visit midlandhorseshoe.com.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing to read the Odessa American, published Friday, August 27th. Broadband and device support available. The federal government has announced a program for low-income families in Ector County regarding devices and broadband. The Emergency Broadband Benefit Program provides a couple of opportunities for eligible families, Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray said during his media call Wednesday. First, it would provide up to a $50 discount per month on high-speed broadband internet access in the home. The second thing would provide up to a $100 discount for the purchase of a laptop computer or other mobile computing device for students. The discount of up to $100 is for a one-time purchase of a laptop or other computing device for an ECISD student, Murray said. Murray said the program is funded by the Federal Communications Commission. They're targeting our low-income families, not only in Ector County, but across the country with this program. In addition to that, ECISD is doing some work on our own. As an example, our partner with SpaceX is an opportunity for families that literally have no or very few options, regardless of their economic status, to bring high-speed broadband into their home. We do have a variety of programs in place to support any type of family and their access to broadband, he added. He noted that more information is available on the ECISD website. Job Seeker Workshops Set. A series of job seekers workshops led by human resource professionals will be held from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. at Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane. September 8th, Preparing for the Hunt, Resumes. September 5th, Reaching Out, Networking. September 22nd, Best Foot Forward, Interviewing. To sign up, for more information, or for childcare, email office@odessaconnection.church. For questions or review of your resume, email the office as well. Vaccinations, masks, and social distancing are strongly encouraged. Farmers Market canceled. The Odessa Farmers Market that was scheduled to take place at MCH Saturday has been canceled due to an abundance of caution to keep people safe from COVID, MCH confirmed on Thursday. In an email provided to the Odessa American, the MCHS leadership felt this was not the time to encourage people to come together and made the decision out of an abundance of caution and a desire to keep our community safe. The email said that the next MCH Farmers Market, which is scheduled for September 25th, is still on the calendar. Abbott and DSHS announce additional medical personnel and equipment to fight COVID. Governor Greg Abbott announced Thursday that the Texas Department of State Health Services will be deploying an additional 2,500 medical staff to support healthcare facilities in Texas, including hospitals and nursing homes. This will bring the total number of medical personnel deployed across the state to 8,100, a news release said. In addition, DSHS is providing medical equipment requested by Texas medical facilities, including ventilators, oxygen concentrators, heart monitors, IV pumps, feeding pumps, and hospital beds. The medical personnel and equipment deployed by DSHS will provide crucial support to our healthcare facilities as they treat hospitalized cases of COVID-19, Abbott said in the release. Texans can do their part to reduce the spread of COVID-19 and hospitalizations by getting the vaccine. It's safe, effective, and your best defense against COVID-19. Visit covidvaccine.texas.gov to find a vaccine provider near you. Previously, 5,600 medical personnel, consisting mostly of nurses and respiratory therapists, were authorized for deployment. DSHS is now increasing that number to a total of 8,100. This operation follows Abbott's directive on August 9th that DSHS use staffing agencies to provide out-of-state medical personnel to Texas healthcare facilities to mitigate the surge of COVID-19 cases in Texas. The additional deployment of personnel will be fully funded by the state through September 30th, the release said. UTPB Administrator Rises to the Top by Ruth Campbell. Coming from a family of migrant farm workers, Zachary Suarez had no reference for college, but the first-generation college student has risen, so far, to the rank of Associate Vice President for Academic Affairs at the University of Texas Permian Basin. Suarez arrived at the university in October 2020. Zach has been a fantastic addition to our leadership team, UTPB President Sandra Woodley said. He is smart and thoughtful and completely dedicated to serving our students. He is passionate about expanding opportunities, particularly for the underserved populations, and his contribution to our strategic plan is going to have a generational impact on families in West Texas and beyond. A native of Weslaco, he started off with an Associate of Arts degree in Business Administration from South Texas College in McAllen. Transferring to the University of Texas Pan American, now UT Rio Grande Valley, he earned a bachelor's in business management. He received a master's in public administration from the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley and a doctorate in public administration from Westchester University in Pennsylvania. He completed both online while working full-time. I think my route into higher education in this field specifically was just really understanding the challenges that students have and navigating the process of obtaining a degree, Suarez said. From his personal experience as someone raised in a migrant farm working household, he didn't have anyone to guide him through the process of applying for college and financial aid, ordering textbooks, or making his way through a syllabus. So when I actually graduated with my bachelor's degree, I applied for a job in human resources at South Texas, where I had graduated from. I started there through a temp agency, through part-time work. After about 6 months of working there on a part-time basis and interacting with staff and students, I really understood that I had to come back and that this was my calling, working with students and helping them navigate these processes, he said. All the jobs Suarez has had in higher education have been at Hispanic-serving institutions. South Texas College and Coastal Bend College, where he was Dean of Enrollment Management, are both Hispanic-serving institutions. It really is important to me to be able to have an impact on students, but also being able to serve students that are perhaps disadvantaged because they have certain barriers in pursuing their education, whether it may be just a lack of knowledge on how to facilitate the process or maybe financial barriers that they may have challenges with, he said. He added that he has typically worked in student services roles with financial aid or helping students with information on enrollment and enrollment services. But my decision to come to UTPB was really the vision and the mission that the institution has and the energy of both the faculty and staff in seeing that vision out in the work that we do every day. One of his goals for UTPB is to bring in more transfer and articulation agreements. Recently, the university formed agreements with Tarrant County College and Coastal Bend. He would also like to bring South Texas College on board. Suarez said it makes things easier to have ties to those institutions. He added that joining with UTPB would be an extraordinary fit for students pursuing bachelor's degrees. Most two-year colleges only offer coursework at the associate's degree level, so that is basically a two-year degree. There is some colleges that do offer bachelorette degrees, but not as extensive as the universities that have those opportunities. So really, in building those bridges for students and those paths, allow students to have those opportunities to expand their learning and also expand the opportunities that they may have both personally and professionally by having an advanced degree. Suarez has two brothers and one sister. He said his educational path has impacted his whole family and the goals they've set for themselves. After he completed his bachelor's degree, his niece earned a degree in accounting from UTRGV and is now pursuing a master's. From a personal standpoint, Suarez said his education and career have allowed him to experience a lot more than I would have if I hadn't pursued a degree. He also hopes his background and experience will encourage others to pursue their dreams. We all have different challenges, but I would say every student that is pursuing a degree has their own challenges that they have to deal with. And so I just think that I'm very, very lucky and fortunate to be able to work in a profession that allows me to have an impact on people's lives on a day-to-day basis.
Death notices. Kathy Jean Harris, Odessa. Kathy Jean Harris, 62, of Odessa, Texas, died Thursday, August 19th, 2021, in Odessa, Texas. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m., August 28th, 2021, at Faith Community Baptist Church. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. James Donald Hembry, Odessa. James Donald Hembry, 74, of Odessa, died Tuesday, August 24th, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. August 27th, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Clark Rocca is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Vital Papo Heavy Moya, Midland. Vital Papo Heavy Moya, 81, of Odessa, Texas, died Wednesday, August 18th, 2021, in Midland. Funeral service will be held at held Monday at 1 p.m. August 30th, 2021 at Impact City Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Augustine Martinez is officiating. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson Funeral Home, 7509 of Odessa. David Lee Richardson, Odessa. David Lee Richardson, 82, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 14, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. August 28, 2021, at First Baptist Church of Odessa. Pastor Byron McWilliams and Randy Beard are officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Johnny Craig Stillwell, Odessa. Johnny Craig Stillwell, 64, of Odessa, died Tuesday, August 24th, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 10:30 a.m., Monday, August 30th, 2021, Crossroads Fellowship. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Obituary. Mary Patricia Pat Ma Myers Cave, Odessa. Mary Patricia Pat Ma Cave, age 90, passed from this life on Friday, August 20th, 2021, at her home in Odessa. She was born in Fruita, Colorado, on Sunday, February 22nd, 1931, to Charles and Mary Jones Myers. In addition to her parents and husband, her son, Robert Charles Cave, daughter Catherine Anderson, three brothers, one infant, Robert Charles and David Myers, her twin sister, Marietta McQuitty, and sister Sandra Schaefer all precede her in death. Those left to cherish her love and memory are her daughter Sherry Little, son Larry Cave, brother Frank Myers, sisters Sharon Myers, Leanne Matthews, grandchildren Kenneth Little, Stephanie Medford, Mac Cave, Christopher Anderson, Joshua Cave, Larry Cave, Jack Cave, Kimberly Cave, 17 great-grandchildren, and 7 great-great-grandchildren. The family will receive friends at the funeral home on Friday, August 27, 2021, from 6 to 8 o'clock p.m. Funeral services will be at Acres West at 2 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, August 28, 2021, officiated by Tanner Smith. Interment follows at Sunset Memorial Garden Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Do people develop fewer colds as they age? Dear Dr. Roach, do people develop fewer colds as they age? If so, why? I'm 78 and haven't had a cold for at least 25 years. JSB answer. It is true that older people usually have fewer colds as they age, but that is largely due to being exposed less frequently. The immune system also is likely to have been exposed to many more viruses as we age. But unfortunately, for some viruses, one can never get high-level immunity to. Others have so many different strains that it's likely you will get exposed to one your immune system doesn't know. Dr. Roach regrets that he is unable to answer individual letters, but will incorporate them in the column whenever possible. Readers may email questions to yourgoodhealth at med.cornell.edu. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Dear Abby, published Friday, August 27th. Married matchmaker tries to sink resulting romance. Dear Abby, I've been friends with Carolyn since grammar school. We are in our early 40s now. She's married. I'm divorced. 2 years after my divorce, she introduced me to a nice man I'll call Don. Don and I have grown closer. He recently told Carolyn how he feels about me and that he wants to marry me. After he told her, Carolyn started sending him messages letting him know that she is attracted to him. She even told him some confidential things about me that I shared only with her. Don has shown me the messages she sent and told her he feels uncomfortable about her coming on to him. She dismissed it as joking. I plan to spend the rest of my life with Don. I feel betrayed and hurt by Carolyn's actions. Should I end our friendship? Bothered in Ohio. Dear Bothered, your friendship with Carolyn ended when she not only put the moves on your boyfriend, but also tried to sabotage your romance by revealing things you had confided to her. What she did was no joke. I see no reason for a confrontation, but you and Don should distance yourself from Carolyn. Dear Abby, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor 6 months ago. All of my friends and coworkers know. My family does not. I hesitated to tell them because my father was gravely ill. He has since recovered. My sister doesn't like bad news. My daughter had a difficult time with my last brain tumor 10 years ago. And my son is in the military. There is nothing they can do. I finally have a plan of action from my doctors. I will be having radiation and will hold off on surgery to see if it works. My question is, should I bring my family in on this? I desperately want to. I know I'd be devastated if another family member kept this information, kind of information, from me. Or would telling them be selfish on my part? I mean, why worry them? Waffling out West. Dear Waffling, I'm sorry for your diagnosis. I hope you realize, because you have been around this track before, that you may beat this again. Because you want and need the support of your family, please let them know what has been going on. Doing that is not selfish. If your cancer does not respond to treatment, how do you think they would feel that you had kept the news from them? Tell your father and your children so they can support you through this. As to your ostrich of a sister who doesn't like bad news, allow her to continue living in ignorance. She would be of little, if any, help to you during this stressful time. I wish you all the best. Dear Abby, I recently invited two couples over for dinner. After the meal, I asked if anyone would like to go for a short boat ride on our lake. One of the couples wanted to go, but the other woman said she didn't want to, so we didn't. What would have been a better way to handle this so that we could have gone? Sailing away in South Carolina. Dear Sailing, boating isn't for everyone. Because she wasn't willing, you could have offered your guest the television remote control and told her the rest of you would be back in 45 minutes if she wished to stay.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.